Can I get a show of hands of all the parents, the moms and dads, who have had your kids say something like this? Golly gee, mom and dad, I'm sure glad you make me eat my vegetables. Or maybe a teenager that says, gosh, mom and dad, I'm so glad I have a curfew. All my friends are so jealous. They say you are the wisest of all the wise parents. Thank you so much for the curfew, for imposing that on me and helping me have prudence and temperance. Anybody? Crickets. Nobody. Kids don't say that. And if you're waiting for your kids to say that, your hair is going to turn gray and fall out before it ever happens, okay? It's just not how it works. But we still impose these rules, these regulations on our kids, right? Tell them to eat their vegetables and give them a bedtime, a curfew, so on and so on, for their own good. And perhaps they don't see, they don't understand the benefit of it, but there certainly is a benefit nonetheless, which is why we do it. Now, we come from a culture where we understand laws very similar to that, as something extrinsic imposed upon us. But that is not at all how the Jews, especially of the Old Testament, understood the law. For them, it was something they delighted in, they took pride in. Go back to our first reading from Deuteronomy. This is Moses shortly after giving the Ten Commandments, right? The law, the Torah. He says, carefully observe it, right? So observe all these rules and commandments of the Lord your God. Observe them carefully. It will give you evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the other nations, who will hear of these statutes and say, this great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people. In other words, because they follow the laws of God, it will be a sign of their wisdom, a sign that there's something different about these people, and they delighted in that. That presupposes, and in fact, God gives us his will. That there is a God for one thing, that he has a will for our lives, that he has a direction that he wishes us to take, and that it doesn't come from us, it comes from God himself. And when the people, the other nations, saw the Israelites living this way, when they weren't sacrificing their babies to demons, when they weren't, you know, doing all these various things that the other gods required, they said, there's something different about this people. And so the people of Israel delighted in their law. They were proud of their law. And it's so much so that, like King David in Psalm 119, a psalm almost 180 verses long, 180 verses. And in every single verse, the law of God is mentioned. The law of the Lord brings delight to the soul. The law of the Lord gives wisdom to the simple. The law of the Lord gives light and guidance to my feet and marks out the path. The people of Israel loved their law because it was God's voice, God's will shown to them clearly. It'd be like bowling with bumper guards up, you know? Like, I enjoy bowling, but by golly, the gutter balls every time, you know? But when you have the bumper guards up for the kids, you can't get the gutter ball. You stay in between the lines. As long as you're not throwing in the next lane, you're going to go down the end, right? That's for the Jews, that's how the law worked for them. It was a clear definition of God's law. But it became hijacked over different points of history. Different points of time, it was hijacked. And instead of listening to Moses, the don't add, don't take away anything, there was either things added or the law was thrown out altogether. And that's what Jesus is talking about today in the gospel. When the Pharisees come up and say, aha, your disciples aren't washing their hands before they eat. Because the Pharisees and scribes had a whole list of laws that you had to practice. As a matter of fact, they had the number of steps that you could take on a Sunday or on a Sabbath. The number of steps you could take before you had to rest. You could only take X number of steps and then you had to take a break. Then you could take an X number of steps and then you would have to take a break. So on and so on. That the smallest details were scrutinized. And Jesus is saying that's not what the law was about. It's not about checking a box. It's not about following this letter or that letter. It's about reaching your heart, giving your heart to the Lord. And he quotes Isaiah, the 29th chapter of Isaiah. Jesus says, "Well, did the prophet Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites? As he wrote, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine human precepts. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and so their worship is invalid. It means nothing. It's hollow, it's empty.'" Brothers and sisters, we have our own laws of the Catholic Church, right? We have our own regulations. We're told, come to Mass every Sunday. We're told, the various precepts of the Church to go to confession during Christmas or Easter, or especially Easter season, so on and so on. We have these rules, we have these regulations, and some of us check our box every Sunday. We go through the motions. We're here. We're doing all the right stuff. But our heart is far from the Lord. And so our worship is empty. It's hollow. That is what Jesus doesn't want. Again and again and again, not just Isaiah, like what Jesus quoted. All throughout the Old Testament, the prophets are saying the same thing. Render your hearts to the Lord. Follow God with your heart. Yes, we follow the law because it's God's will shining before our eyes. But we follow it so that and because we have a relationship with God. The God from all the peoples of the earth chose us to be his own. To know him, to love him, and to be known and loved by him. The God that created the cosmos cares about me. He cares what I do. And he gives me this law because this will bring me happiness. This will truly bring me the heartache of the other gods that are around us. Of the other ways of life that we see, the other examples of living that you don't have to go far to find examples of. But it's not simply enough to do all the right stuff. To come, even if you come to Mass every single Sunday and you're dropping your collection in the plate, that's still not enough. Because your heart can still be far from the Lord. And that's the point of conversion. That's where Christianity, that's where the message of Jesus Christ. Well, we can take the law and the light and the law to take delight in the law of the Lord. You know, Jesus said the law was not going to pass away. He didn't come to abolish it, but to fulfill it. And why is that? That's kind of what we hear in our first or our second reading from James. Humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save you. Humbly welcome this word. Now, quoting back to Psalm 119 that I mentioned earlier, it used different synonyms for the law of the Lord. Sometimes it says the law of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the way of the Lord. But it also says the word of the Lord. It calls God's command, his law, the word. And then if you skip back to the first chapter of John, the word became flesh and lived among us. This law that was given by Moses has blood pumping through its veins. It becomes a person, Jesus Christ. The law of the Lord is now enfleshed, and it's not merely an extrinsic following of precepts. It's about relationship. It's about knowing that God loves me. He died on the cross for me. And the way I can love him back is by following law, the precepts, following the rules that are laid down so that I can stay within those bumper guards. So that I can follow him and I can love that law. There's a difference. There's a huge difference between, the people who we see living their lives as they want, as they wish, whatever suits their fancy. And you can see heartache. You can see tragedy. You can see the effects of sin as it shatters the soul of a person. And yet they keep trying harder to find this happiness, whatever it is, the drugs, alcohol, sex, you name it, whatever the things are, whatever they're pursuing, money, pursuing whatever, just leads to greater emptiness. And yet, and go figure, that the law of the Lord, this command to love the Lord above all things and your neighbor as yourself, it gives freedom. It gives wholesomeness. It gives joy. Not because you follow and check off your boxes, but because you know there's a God who loves you and that you can love back. That is the supreme message of the gospel. That is why Christ took on flesh, why the law took on flesh to be the law for us today, but in a living, breathing, approachable, relationship, relational sort of way. Not a contract. That is the message of Christianity. That our God comes to us. That we are a people that are wise beyond telling because we have the law in Jesus Christ. And not just washing the outside of the cups because that's what we're supposed to do. But giving conversion of heart. The truly trying to come closer to know the Lord. And to be known by him. That is a challenge that we have to face every day. To be known and to know the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let's not be like the scribes and Pharisees, simply checking boxes and sitting in the pews every single Sunday, week after week. Faithfully, that's good. It's a good place to start. But it can't be the final ending place. We can't stay there. We have to give our heart to the Lord. And when that happens, that's when we become saints. That's when holiness occurs. And we're not going to be perfect. We'll never be perfect. But we strive and we try to live our life according to God's law. To give ourselves, to love and to be loved. That is the message of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, may it be so for each and every one of us.